Good morning, everyone. Okay, just making sure here. We're just going to jump right in this morning, but so grateful for the truths that we get to come together and we get to sing and encourage one another. Let me tell you what I get really excited about. I get excited about somebody singing "Hallelujah, I'm Free." Not on a Sunday morning, love that, but on Monday morning. And Tuesday, and Wednesday, and Thursday. I'm telling you, somebody is going to walk out of here today. By the way, thanks for joining us online. Somebody, maybe you're walking out of a coffee shop or your living room or wherever it is. Somebody's going to be walking out of here no longer carrying burdens that they walked in with. And that is good news. And I can't wait to see what God does over our time today. So, Image of God. That is our series that we are in right now. We are saying what we believe about the image of God. It changes everything. It changes the way that we see ourselves. It changes the way that we see one another. And it changes the way that we see the world. And so we're having this conversation. Last week, we talked about how our belief in the image of God compels us to protect children specifically through fostering and adopting. And I got to tell you, I got the coolest email like right after service from a lady from Arizona. Her name is Liz, and I just want to share this with you. Liz says, "I've been worshiping online with Oak Hills now for months here in Chandler, Arizona. It makes my day, my week closer to Christ. Today, hearing about the foster program, One Hope for Kids, really impressed me. I was born in San Antonio in 1933. Yep. Was that a woo for 1933? Okay. All right. 1933. Yep. 89 years ago, a preemie and an orphan. And I was adopted. Was shuffled around after divorce, but my dad taught me about God and his love. Long story, but I've been a Christian for over 70 years. Yeah, now you can woo for that. That's good. I would like to donate to One Hope. I am, of course, I love this part. I am, of course, a senior living in a senior assisted living facility, but I can do something. Thank you, Travis, in Christ, Liz. Let's give it up for Liz. Thanks for sharing that with us. That was one of the things we said, no one can do everything, but everyone can do something. She says, I can do something. So Liz, you made my day, but more importantly, you were obedient to the prompting of the Holy Spirit in Arizona. Oh, that, and at 89 years young, oh, that we would all be so prompted so easily by the Holy Spirit. Well, I want you to know, give you a heads up, right here up front, that today's message is going to be a sensitive one, but it's an important one. It's an important conversation for us to have as we continue to look at this belief, this doctrine around the fact that all people are made in the image of God, that we are affirming the dignity and the worth of all people. Today, we're specifically looking at what that belief means as we look at the preserving and the protecting of our children, including the unborn. Now, I want you to know, we had this message planned months ago. I kid you not, months ago. Long before we knew it was going to be headline news or on the front page. We had this planned. Because this is a conversation that we need to have. And if we can't have it as a church, then where can we talk about these things? And so I know that a lot of people would shy away from conversations like this. But today, we want to have this conversation, number one, because, well, we are a church. Our vision as a church is to be a community of disciples courageously engaging culture with the hope of Jesus, where we live, work, learn, and play. And we can't do that if we can't talk about some things like this. But here's the other reason, because this is a family matter. You see, this impacts our family. Statistics would tell us that 1 out of 4 women have had an abortion, and that over half come from the church. And we know that it's not just women, but men greatly influence these decisions. And so it's a family conversation that we want to have that impacts the church. So here's our hope today, that we would bring hope, that we would bring healing, and that we would bring help to whoever may need it. Hope, healing, and help. So let's begin by praying just for that this morning. Father, we come to you just thanking you for the time that you have gathered your ecclesia, your church, your gathered people, your called out ones. And Father, we thank you for the word that you have given us, this firm foundation. And today, we are praying specifically for anyone who may need hope. But not just any hope, not just some humanistic version of hope, but the hope of Jesus. We pray for healing for anyone who may need healing today from any burden that they've been carrying maybe for a long time, maybe one they've never told a soul about. And Father, would you just bring help for any of us that need help in any area of our life? Would you guide us to it so that we can help one another in this journey as we're guiding one another to follow Jesus moment by moment? Ultimately, we want to see Jesus and only Jesus. It's in his name we pray. And all those who agreed with that said, amen. Well, last week we talked about the image of God. And we talked about how it impacts everything. It changes everything. It changes the way that we see ourselves, the way that we see one another, the way that we see the world. But today what we want to be really clear about is what Scripture has to say about the way that God sees you. Maybe better said, how God saw you. You see, we see this theme all through Scripture, that God knew you. He saw you. He had relationship with you before anyone knew there was going to be a you. So look at some of these scriptures. Look at what he says to Jeremiah. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. Look at what he says to Isaiah. Isaiah says this, the Lord called me from the womb, from the body of my mother, he named my name. And from Job, Job says, did not he who made me in the womb make them? Did not the same one from us form us both within our mothers? And then finally, David speaks these words. He says, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. So from a biblical perspective, we understand that God knew us, that he saw us, that he had relationship with us. He was well acquainted with us before anyone knew that there was going to be an us. And so with that truth in mind, with that biblical perspective in mind, we want to look at the hope and healing that is available to us as we face storms in our life, specifically anyone who is facing or has faced the storm of unplanned pregnancy. So we're going to get specific today about the hope that Jesus can bring, but I don't know what storm it may be that you're facing today. I don't know what you walked in here with. Those of you worshiping with us online, I don't know what you're carrying right now, but here is a truth that I want us to carry out of here today. Here's a truth. There is no storm that Jesus can't still. I'm just going to repeat that for effect. There's no storm that Jesus can't still. And how do we know that? We know that thanks to a guy named Mark, who wrote the second gospel in our New Testament. We know that the disciples of Jesus, those who had spent so much time with him, learned this lesson the hard way. Mark records this in chapter 4. It's the second gospel in our New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Mark was not an eyewitness to Jesus, but he was an eyewitness to Peter. And Peter walked with Jesus. And I think Peter may have recounted this story to Mark because of the rich and the vivid detail that we have in this text. Let's read together. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, let us go over to the other side. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, teacher, don't you care if we drown? He got up, rebuked the wind, said to the waves, quiet, be still. Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." The disciples would learn a powerful lesson that day, and it was that there was one in their boat who had power over everything. Power over the winds and the waves. You see, there's no storm that Jesus can't still. That particular day, it was an unplanned trip. In fact, it was Jesus himself who calls the audible at the last second. See, they had been teaching, preaching, they'd been healing, and they were tired. I'm sure at the end of the day, they were probably spent, just like a hard day at work for us. I mean, you're just ready to just... And so they head to the other side. And I don't know if Jesus makes that call because he knows the ministry opportunities that are on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. Or maybe they were just tired. Maybe he was just tired. I think we can assume that Jesus was probably tired because it's only about a two-hour trip. Okay, we call it the Sea of Galilee, but it's really about the size of a lake. And it's about a two-hour trip to where they're going. And Jesus falls asleep before they get there. He takes like a sailor's, like a leather rowing cushion, and he makes it his pillow. And he's asleep. It's an unplanned trip. But then on top of that, they have this unexpected storm. So when you're in the Sea of Galilee and you just kind of look around and do a 360, especially at this end of the sea or the lake, you will notice that the hills all around you, the hills are very steep and the valleys are very narrow. So what this does is it can create a little bit of a wind tunnel, and it can churn up the waters quickly, especially in the fall, which I believe that's likely the time when this happened. In the fall, this can happen. It creates this wind tunnel effect, and it churns the waters and turns it up, and it can come on really, really quickly. And that's what happens. And this is really dangerous, especially in the evening. Now, did you notice in the text when this takes place? In the evening. It's dangerous in the evening. How do we know that it's dangerous in the evening? Here's how I think we know. First of all, you have these fishermen who are experienced. They are experts. They make their living on this body of water. They know it well. And they are losing their ever-loving minds. They are in full freak-out mode. Something's going on that they didn't expect. Something's going on that they're already trying to problem solve. Like, how are we going to get out of this? We didn't see this coming. And part of their beef with Jesus is that he's not freaking out enough. Did you notice the question that they ask him? It is the same question that echoes even today through the hearts of all of humanity. And here it is. Don't you care? Sometimes we read this text, "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown?" I don't think that's the way they said it. I think maybe they were shouting at Jesus over the roar of the wind and the waves. "What are you doing? Don't you care?" And I want to ask you a question. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been there in that place where maybe you're even shouting at Jesus, "Don't you care? Do you care?" Maybe you've experienced that unplanned trip, that unexpected storm. And then on top of all that, this burning question, unanswered. Don't you care? You see, because in the minds of the disciples, they had two options, right? Like, get to shore or drown. Those were the two options that they had in mind. But you see, they forgot something. They forgot who was in the boat. Jesus was in their boat. And when Jesus is in your boat, there's always a third option. When Jesus is in your boat, there's always another way. There's always a better way. They forgot who's in their boat. But once they realized who was in their boat and that he had power over the winds and the waves, you see, there is no storm that Jesus can't still. And you know what? He does care. He does care. To continue this conversation today, I want to invite up some of my friends to the platform. I'm going to begin just introducing them as they come up as we continue this conversation today. I'm going to introduce you to Dr. Skop, who's going to be with us today. I want to introduce you to Donna Klingeman, who is with Hill Country Pregnancy Center, and Julie Corbett, who's Executive Director for Any Woman Can. Church, can we welcome them and thank them for being with us? We've had the opportunity to sit down around a table and just talk because this is an important conversation. It's important to all of us. It's an important conversation for us to have. And so I got really excited, even in the conversations that we were having, thinking the church has got to hear this. This is a conversation that we have to have. So thank you for your time today. Thank you for being with us, and thank you for all that you do. To get us started in this conversation, Dr. Skop, I thought maybe a good place for us to start would just be from a medical point of view. From a medical point of view, what is the current science around this conversation of pregnancy and abortion? So.
Thank you, Pastor Travis, for bravely addressing this issue with the church. It's so important. You mentioned that one out of four American women have suffered from an abortion, and that half of these women have come from the church. Undoubtedly, there are women here who have a raw wound in their soul from this action. There may be others who've buried it so deep that they rarely think about it. Yet both of these women need restoration and healing from this. It is estimated that we have about 1 million abortions in our country every year. About 63 million unborn children have died in the past 50 years. One out of five pregnancies end in abortion, and each abortion leaves in its wake grief, broken relationships, and heartache, not just for the mother, but for the father, for the siblings, and for the other family members who have lost a child. Now, science affirms what the Bible told us, that God lovingly and intricately created each unborn child, made in his image, and he knew them long before birth. From the time of fertilization, a new human exists. He has the genetic makeup that will guide his development to be a unique person who can never be duplicated. By about 3 weeks after fertilization, the heart starts pumping blood. Another couple of weeks, and we see nose, mouth, and ears form. A few weeks later, by the end of the second month, that baby has fingerprints and fingernails. I don't know if you can see my pen here. This is the size of a fetal feet at the end of the second month of pregnancy. At that point, he sucks his thumb on ultrasound, and if we pay close attention, we can find out if he's going to be left-handed or right-handed, based on the thumb that he prefers. So these are not blobs of tissue. These are intricate human beings that God has created. And undoubtedly, God grieves at the loss of his precious children, and we should too. The American public have been misled about the reality of abortion. Many people probably think, well, there's difficult situations. Perhaps this is the best of the bad options that a woman may have. But each abortion causes a woman much more harm than any benefit. God created women with a strong hormonal attachment to their children. They cannot reject their children without paying a cost. A woman may experience immediate relief after the abortion that she falls into, but over time, regret, guilt, shame develop, and some women will develop mental health complications, anxiety, depression, substance abuse, sometimes suicide. The procedure is not as safe as you've been led to believe by those who profit from it. As an OB-GYN of 25 years, I've cared for many women who've suffered from immediate physical severe complications of abortion. I've seen two women who've died. I've cared for women who've had long-term complications, infertility, preterm birth. There's even an association with breast cancer. Abortion is never necessary to prevent maternal mortality. If a pregnancy poses an immediate severe risk to a woman's life, as her obstetrician, I can deliver her and we can try to save the baby. It's never necessary to intentionally destroy the baby. Something very concerning is happening in our country today, and that is chemical abortion. Using the pandemic as an excuse, the FDA removed the in-person requirements for prescribing chemical abortion pills. So women can now order them over the internet and get them delivered by mail, circumventing the medical and the legal systems. And this is particularly being targeted to women in Texas. These are dangerous. Approximately 1 out of 5 women will suffer a complication. Approximately 1 out of 12 women will require surgery. The lack of oversight means that women are vulnerable to coercion and suffering their complications alone. God has told the church what we should do. Give justice to the weak and fatherless. Rescue the weak and needy. Deliver them from the hands of evil. I'm so grateful to be here today with my friends, Donna and Julie, and they're going to tell you about some of the things that these organizations are doing to walk with women to help them in these crises.
Yeah, thank you so much for sharing that with us. I learned so much every time we talk. And you mentioned just the impact that this has on the women, but also the men, right? And so, Donna, I know that a lot of your work, you're counseling with both women and with men through these things. So can you tell us just a little bit about your work?
Sure, you bet. And thank you so much. We really do feel like it's vital to have these conversations, and we feel privileged to be here. So thank you. I think the biggest thing that you need to know about organizations like ours that are sitting up here and others in this work is that our main primary concern is to do what his message was talking about today, and that is to help calm the storm. So our job is to, everybody that comes through, we believe is a divine appointment. Even if we don't get to have scriptural conversation, it's still a divine appointment, and Jesus will do his work. That's all we need to do is be open. And so when they come in, they're coming in with everything together all at once in this unplanned, unexpected situation. Things are stirring around them, and all the moments run together. So we take time, and we slow things down. We talk calmly with them, and we just talk about the moment that they're in right now. We put a pin in the future for a minute. We, you know, help move aside the past for just a minute and just focus on them. The biggest thing that happens in a room is that we're listening, because people just need an opportunity to find a safe place where they feel comfortable. And so we are not judgmental, regardless of what their decision may be. We are going to listen, and we're going to offer whatever resources that we have. So we're looking to help them find the supports that are around them. Sometimes you don't think about the supports you have, and you just need time to talk about them. What are those supports? And let's utilize those. If you've got barriers to your situation, let's talk about those barriers. And we have lots of resources that we can offer to get over those barriers and to move on. Sorry, there was one other thing. Oh, it just goes back, sorry. It just goes back to the same message that really, it truly is. What you believe about the image of God for yourself, that changes everything. So it's really important to us for them to understand that we do care, we're here for them, and that was by purpose and design. And so they will pass that on to their children. So we have to remember that though God is bringing that child to us, he's first bringing the mom or that dad with in front of us. And we don't really have a right to talk to them about their child until we have heard from them and see them first for who God does. So that's the main point,
that's
I would
so
say.
Good. Julie, I know that you as well have a front row seat to a lot of these conversations and a lot of this work. And to the transformation that takes place in people's lives, which is God's activity. Could you just share a little bit about some of that work as well and that transformation that you've seen?
Yes, it's incredible. Almost daily, we have an opportunity to see the power of the Holy Spirit move through some very difficult situations. In February, we had a specific example where we had a young woman contact our center. She had already set up an abortion appointment in Oklahoma, and she needed proof of pregnancy and an ultrasound. So we set up the appointment, and she came in, and she met with our client advocate, Dee. And what did she find? A listening ear, heart full of compassion, and unconditional love. She shared her story. She shared her concerns. They walked through each of those. After that, she went into the ultrasound room to meet with Nurse Denise. Well, the ultrasound showed that the baby was 15 weeks and was moving actively, its arms and legs. At the end of the appointment, the mom was still determined to have an abortion. So as she left, as we do with each of our clients, we told her, we're praying for you, and we'll be here for you afterwards, regardless of what your decision might be, we're here for you. So she left, and we took the picture of the ultrasound. We took off all identifying information. We sent it to our board, our staff, our volunteers, and asked them to pray, because we knew that the only way for this situation to be changed would be through the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, the appointment was following week on a Thursday. That Tuesday evening, the mom reached out to her advocate and said, I'm scared. The client advocate said, I bet. The mom asked, can we talk in the morning? And the client advocate said, yes, of course. Unbeknownst to us, the mom had just recently became a CNA, a certified nurse assistant. So she, on her own, had gone online to investigate abortion clinics in Oklahoma and found out that they do not have blood product on site. So if anything went wrong, they didn't have blood available. Well, being a CNA, she knew that that was concerning. So she contacted Dee, her advocate, the next morning and said, I've decided to keep my baby. Let me tell you, just telling you that gives me the shivers, and I've told that story about 50 million times. Well, we celebrated, and the mom said, hey, can I come back this afternoon to see my baby again? We said, of course you can. So she actually came in four times. She's seen the baby four times. We have celebrated four times. It was just beautiful.
That is so good.
So I just want you all to know that that truly is by the power of the Holy Spirit. It has nothing to do with woman or man or any manipulation. It is totally by the Spirit of God.
That's so good. I love that story, and I love stories of God's activity and the way that that can transform lives. I'm really just sensitive right now to anyone who made a different decision, and someone here today or watching online that may be in a place of deep grief and sadness and burden and regret and all those things that can come with a decision to abort a pregnancy. So can you help us? What would you say to anyone who is in that place?
Well, I'll speak to that. I would start with Pastor Travis's words today, and that there is no storm that Jesus can't still. So if you have things inside of you that are stirred up, it's Jesus is there with you, and he wants to make that difference. And just as Julie was talking about the Holy Spirit is who God has left with us, right? He has left that. He has left the Holy Spirit with us as an advocate and a counselor. So that's who's with you all the time. And that's who's waiting for you to always reach out at any time, whenever you're not reconciled. Reconciliation is the gift that Christ gave us and has left with us. And so don't forget that. You know, sometimes you need reconciliation with God and yourself. You need reconciliation with someone in your life, but you also need reconciliation in your own heart. And just know that it's okay. Whatever you've been through, whatever has your past is, you're not defined by that. You're defined by this moment in time and your future with Jesus Christ. So that is what I would say to anybody right now that might be sitting out there wondering what they do. And we have many resources to help with that. And Julie, did you want to talk about that?
Thank you. If anyone is here today that has been dealing with a post-abortion experience, perhaps you've had an abortion, perhaps you paid for an abortion, perhaps you love someone who's had an abortion, you're dealing with the grief of the loss of that child, I want you to know that we have counselors available today to be able to help bring healing, to give you resources to help you with a journey toward healing and hope again. We also offer a post-abortive Bible study called Surrendering the Secret. Mm-hmm. And we also provide free counseling for post-abortive women and men, because we know that it's only through the power of the Holy Spirit that deep healing can occur. Mm-hmm.
Maybe we could just wrap our time up and talk about the role of the church. Mm-hmm. And what can we do? How can we help, and how can we partner with the work that you're doing in the community now?
Well, like you said, keep referring, it's a great message today.
Just like I told you to say it. That's right. You're doing great.
Thank you. Well, we really do. We want you to get in the boat with us. That's really the point. And what I would say first, and there's lots of different ways practically that you can help, but I'm going to say first, put your own heart and your own house in order, okay? When you start with that and you use these scriptures that you heard today and other ones, and you begin to work with people who can talk about these things, even from a child on up, of course it has to be age appropriate, but scripture is always age appropriate. So whenever you get an opportunity to talk to someone about their worth and their value, and you can see that in them, encourage them. Encourage one another and make it a part of your own home, that's how you start. We have lots of resources, ways that you can help in volunteering. And Julie, you want to talk about that?
Great. First of all, if you could help us be a voice for us when you hear of an unplanned pregnancy, let them know about our free services. Let them know that we are a place of compassion, of unconditional love, without judgment, that we will receive them just like Jesus would receive them. You could become a volunteer and be a client advocate, like I talked about earlier with Dee. We use men and women to walk alongside these young people that are in crisis, and they just need to be heard. They need to be understood and supported. You may have a skill that we could use at our centers, possibly a nurse, a sonographer. We could use educators. We could use IT people. We could use handyman. if you have a skill and you feel called, we will definitely give you an opportunity to serve. You can also give. You can give financially, and you can just give physical items like diapers and wipes, prenatal vitamins, new baby clothes. You could be on the front line to bless these brand new families the moment that they find out that they're expecting. If you're a part of a Bible study or a small group and you're looking for an opportunity for a service project, you could just bless us with these items. You can contact one of our centers. There's always something that we could use some help with. If you're interested in coming alongside of a pregnancy care center, we have some tables set up out in the foyer, and we'd love to visit with you. Thank you for your time and listening. Thank you.
Well, I know this church, and I know that we've got some wheels turning already as you're just, kind of talking through all of that. I want to thank you for your time. I want to just thank you for who you are and what you do. You know, we as a church, we want to share the hope of Jesus where we live, work, learn, and play. And you are obviously taking Jesus into your work. So thank you for that. Thank you for being with us today and helping us in this conversation. Church, can we thank them for being with us today? There is no storm that Jesus can't still. And I don't know what that may be for you today, what storm that may have been that you are carrying right now, that you find yourself in right now. But Jesus is in your boat, and he does care. He does care. And we see that, right? Like the people that come into our lives and are just there to speak truth and to speak life. Maybe even to speak from a deep regret that they have just in those moments. That's Jesus saying to you, I care. So I don't know what your next step may be. Maybe your next step is to receive hope. Not just any hope, not just any version of hope, but the hope of Jesus. And maybe there's someone here today who's never received that hope. For the first time, you're saying, that's what I've been looking for. That may be your next step to say, Jesus, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. I believe that you have power to still any storm, to forgive sin in my life. Maybe your next step is to receive healing. Maybe today's conversation, you walked in here today and maybe you were even surprised by the topic. You didn't see this coming, but Jesus is already in your heart just working and bringing that healing right now. That's been our prayer, that no one would have to walk out of here carrying burdens that they walked in with. And if you question whether Jesus is providing that healing for you, maybe you've heard that voice of, well, I went too far. Yeah, that's for somebody else. Would you just listen to this scripture? Let this just kind of soak in this morning. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And look at this. In him, in Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace. So what does that tell us? Well, it tells us that he is just to forgive. He's right to do it. Because of his death on the cross and his resurrection, he is just to forgive. And not only that, you may be asking the question, is he able and willing? Well, we also know that he has abundance, overflowing riches of grace available to all people. Because you see, even in that, he is affirming the dignity and the worth of all people. He's saying to us, you're made in my likeness. Now, you're not the perfect version of that, but day by day, moment by moment, Jesus says, you're becoming more like me. So maybe today your next step is to receive help. It's a good thing you're here today, because now you know that there are specific places, there are specific people who God just created them and made them to help in situations just like the one that you're in. Maybe today what God is prompting on your heart is to give help to someone. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. And allow him to say to you, there's no storm that Jesus can't still. And to hear the voice, the beautiful, the powerful, the matchless name of Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, hear his voice say to you, yeah, I care. And if you've ever doubted whether he cares, just look to the cross, where he gave all that he had to give so that you could be right with God. I want to invite us all to stand. We're going to pray about those things again, wherever you may be, before we close today. Father, we thank you for the gift of your presence. We thank you for the gift of who you are. We thank you for the gift of your Son that you sent into this world. Right now, I am praying for the one who's receiving hope for the very first time. The one who is praying right now in agreement with me that, Jesus, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. I believe that you are powerful and willing to forgive my sin. I thank you for forgiving my sin. And Father, we celebrate with anybody praying that prayer for the very first time today, opening themselves and inviting you in. And Father, we're praying right now for healing, for anyone who is in need of healing, for whatever reason, whatever circumstance, for whatever storm, that they would open themselves to invite your healing to come in. Father, would you bless us right now with a special touch of your hand? to provide that healing that only you can provide, that help that only you can provide. Father, I can't help but think about those disciples in that moment. Oh, I wish I could see the look on their face when you stilled that storm. Because they finally realized who was in the boat. But we realized that they still had to row to shore. They still had work to do. And they went to shore, but they went to shore together. So, Father, our prayer is that you would bring us together to help one another, to land on that shore together. We pray these things in the powerful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, and our Master. It's in his name that we pray, and all those who agreed said, amen.